Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. One of my favorite things about doing Hope Is Here is giving honor to whom honor is due. I know that everyone listening today has been impacted by COVID some way. Whether it's been financially, mentally, emotionally, or physically, we have all been impacted. Unfortunately for some, COVID has resulted in their death. Last year on August 26th, in 2021, when my friend, co-laborer, brother in Christ, and fellow pastor, Tim Parsons, took his last breath, and in the words of his precious wife, Susan, Tim went into the arms of Jesus around 1 a.m. We were able to be with him, so he was surrounded by his family, and we prayed and worshiped with Tim as he peacefully entered the presence of heaven. Tim will be greatly missed, but we trust our Heavenly Father as we know that no matter what, He is good. Well, yesterday we played the first part of Tim Parsons' last sermon that he preached at Center Point in Lexington, where he was the lead pastor on August 1st. It was a powerful message that reminded us all that we need a Savior and how God includes us in His plan that no person shall perish without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Be blessed today as you listen to my friend Tim Parsons as he preached his last sermon on this earth from Mark chapter 6 on what it's like to be a follower of Jesus and how, as followers of Jesus, we can help make disciples that serve Him and help others to know who Jesus is.
Look at the instructions that Jesus gives them. I'm going to read from Matthew's account. It says that these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. He said, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles. And do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Go to the Jews. "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' It's the time now for you to act. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, so freely you should give. And do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats, or sandals, or a staff. For the worker is worthy of his support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who's worthy of it and stay in his house until you leave the city. And as you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. If it's not worthy, take back your blessing." I think I'll try that when I come to your house. No, I won't. "Take it back. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Wow. Jesus told them to go out. He told them not to buy any special equipment for their journey, but just to use what they already had. Now this shows the urgency by which they were sent. Plus Jesus wanted them to live by faith. Living by faith had been something that he'd talked about for a long time. This is something he'd been developing in them. Jesus wanted them to live like that. And also, he wanted them to be unencumbered. He didn't want them to be weighed down with so many things. Have you noticed how many things seem to hold us back? I mean, think about what holds you back from being a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And I know it's hard to think those thoughts, but what are the things that do that? Or what holds you back from sharing your faith or discipling? What holds you back from being faithful to church or in a connect group? And you know, if you're honest to answer that, you answer with things that God has blessed you with. Oh, it's the fact that I've got to work overtime to pay for my new truck, or it's the house that I got to care for, or it's the fact that I have enough resources to go on vacations a lot, or it's my kids' sports, the abilities that God's given them, or and you fill in the blanks. Often the very blessings that we have from God become things that encumber us if we're not careful. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm grateful for all those things, and you should be too. We don't have to be upset that God's blessed us. It's not what we have that matters. It's what we do with what we have that matters. It's how we leverage what God has blessed us with, those resources, to accomplish that. And that's what Jesus wants for us. He doesn't want us to be cumbered down with things. In fact, as the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside, put off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us." Let me just ask one simple question today. What is that for you? What is that for me? What is the thing that so easily encumbers me, that weighs me down, that keeps me from being a fully devoted Christ follower, that keeps me from doing what God has called me to do? You're going to see this in a minute, but I want you to hear it now, is that Jesus wanted to make sure there was none of that. Because these men went out lean and mean machines, ready to go and share the gospel with the world that needed it. And as they went from place to place, they encountered hostility in some places and hospitality in others. Some places they made friends, some places they made enemies. Now, it was a custom for Jews to shake the dust off their feet. It's kind of theatrical, right? You can kind of picture this. You go into a Gentile territory is when they did it. They would come out of that Gentile territory and kind of symbolic. They're like, I don't want any of this on me, not even the dust. And they shake the dust off their feet. Well, Jesus is now telling them to do that in a Jewish territory, in places where people did not receive them. It was a big symbol. It was a big picture. And Jesus wanted them to live among the people. That's why he told them, don't take extra food. Don't take extra money. Don't stay in the nicest hotel and eat in the nicest restaurants. I want you to live with the people, to share life with them, to be genuine and transparent. And church, listen, this is the key to lifestyle evangelism. Fact is, what missionary do you know of that's a great missionary that goes into an area and they live far away from the people? They live in a real nice high rise in the city and they just travel to meet the people. No, the missionaries we know of that are making a real impact, whether it's here in an urban context, like, you know, one of our cities, or whether it's someplace in another part of the world, what do? They give up a lot. They make sacrifices. They take risks to live where the people live. They act like them. They dress like them. Not the sinful ways, but they eat the food they eat. They live like them. Why? Because there's something about living around and with somebody that allows us to have influence. It's exactly what Jesus did. I love John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. I don't love the Message version, but I love what it says about that verse where it says Jesus took on a body and moved into our neighborhood. That's incarnational ministry. That's what Jesus was sending these guys to do. That's what he wants for us to, is to live among people. Next, you see that they were given a message. They were given a message to preach. The word preach means to herald or proclaim. And what were they to proclaim? Simple answer, the gospel. The good news that the Messiah has come, that Jesus has come, that there's a way to know God and be in a relationship with him again. Listen to what Luke records. He says, and Jesus said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even take two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out of that city, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Now watch this. Departing, they did it. They began going throughout the villages doing what? Preaching the gospel and healing everyone. They took the gospel, the life-changing message of the good news, to people. And what did they preach? Look at our text, verse 12. They went and they preached that men should repent. What does repent mean? It's a word that means change of direction. You were going this way, now you're going that way. You meet Jesus and you have a lifestyle change. Can I just remind us, this kind of word is not very present. It's missing from many of our church vocabularies today. We used to hear about hellfire and brimstone preachers, and many of us kind of, you know, react to that. You would have revival meetings where someone would actually tell us, hey, it's not right for you to live like this. You need to have a change in your direction. That's what salvation does. That's what God expects from us. And repentance is that lifestyle change, like the Bible describes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's exactly what it means for us to experience that change. You remember a guy named Zacchaeus? You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You know this guy, right? And remember, he was known as the notorious sinner of the city. He was a tax collector, which Jews hated. He stole money. We know this from what happens in the story. He was an outcast. No one liked him. He had no desire to do the right thing. And what happens? He meets Jesus. Climbs up in the tree, leans over, however it looks. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. He meets Jesus. And what happened in Zacchaeus' life is a picture of repentance. Because before, Zacchaeus was dependent. He worshiped what? His money and the power that he had from his position and what the money provided. And once he met Jesus, that no longer mattered. He was willing to give it all away because he had a new God in his life, a new thing to worship, and it was Jesus himself. Let me ask you, have you repented of your sin and turned your life over to Jesus? Maybe you're here and you've never come into a relationship with God through Jesus. The greatest decision you can make today is to meet Jesus. I did this when I was 7, but you have a moment when you realize, I'm a sinner. My life is not going the direction it should go. And maybe, you know, you've grown up in church. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe your dad was a deacon or a pastor. Maybe you've heard the message of the gospel given so many times that you could say it in your sleep. But there's a difference between knowing about it and receiving it. And for me, it was 7 when I realized that I was a sinner, that Jesus came and died and rose for me. And it was then that I invited Jesus into my life. And you can do that right where you are. You can pray, and there's no certain prayer, but you can ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sins and save you. But you know, as a Christian, sometimes we need to repent too. Because sometimes our lives drift so off. We meet Jesus and we live for him. We're excited about him, committed to him. And then little by little by little, has this happened to you? You begin to kind of drift off. I've told you this story before. I grew up in the country. I don't know how many of you grew up in the country. I loved it. But when you go out in the spring and you drive down country roads, what do you know about country roads if you grew up in the country? They get big ruts because of the rain. And if you drive straight down the lane with the big ruts, you know what happens? You tear the oil pan out of your pickup truck. It's a bad thing, right? So you learn. You can't drive down here because if you're driving down the ruts, every once in a while there's a rock sticking up and bam, it hits that. So you put one wheel up on the rut, one wheel up on the ground right by the barbed wire fence, and you drive carefully until you look over to the right and see a whole bunch of turkeys or deer, and you start looking over there, and what happens? Right back in the ruts. That's exactly what happens to us. We give our lives to Jesus. We're committed to him. We want to live for him. And then all of a sudden, we get our eyes on something else, and our life is back like that. Maybe God today is speaking to you about repenting, coming back to Jesus, living for him, confessing sin, being what you committed to be, being a man or a woman of your word. When you were baptized, when you committed your life to Jesus, whatever that was for you, when you made a decision at a camp or on a mission trip and you said, I'm going to live for you, and you've meant to, but all of a sudden you've been back in the ruts. Repentance is saying to God, I'm sorry for that and I want to change. It's that godly sorrow that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 7, where he says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. And listen, don't miss this. What's implied there is strong. Godly sorrow leads to salvation and leaves no regret. What is implied there is when you and I fail to have godly sorrow, when we fail to repent, we have a lot of regret. And we end our lives and we look back going, I wish I had, rather than I'm glad I did.
You've been blessed today by a powerful message from my friend, Pastor Tim Parsons. It was the last sermon that he preached on August 1st at Center Point Church in Lexington, Kentucky, where he actually was the founding pastor 15 years ago when they started this church plant. This was the last time that Tim preached because a few weeks later, he went to heaven after complications from COVID-19. Been blessed to know Tim as a friend. Met him when he first came to Lexington when they started the church in the Hamburg Movie Theater. When I was on staff as executive pastor at Northeast Christian Church in Lexington, and we had coffee several times over the past 15 years, and we run into each other lots of times, counseling people and mentoring, discipling, and encouraging one another, and truly be missed. I want to encourage you to continue to remember Tim's family in your thoughts and prayers, and join us again tomorrow as we continue Tim's powerful message from Mark chapter 6 on Hope is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Serving Central Kentucky since 2012, Gluten-Free Miracles is Lexington's locally owned healthy bakery and cafe. For those who follow a gluten-free diet, there are lots of delicious options. If you're on a paleo, keto, or vegan eating plan, then Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe is also the place for you. Need a birthday cake or anniversary cake for that special occasion? Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe can also assist you there, conveniently located off Nicholasville Road behind Jeff's Car Wash. Visit them today or check them out online at glutenfreemiracles.com. That's glutenfreemiracles.com.